Well, we are in the study of the seed and inheritance, and we've looked at the double portion of Christ to a measure. We've talked about it. His double portion is king and priest. And as the priest, he leads us into that of God. We have access to God by him, through him, and in him. And as the king, he reigns in us, in that he's accomplished. And when you start talking about Jesus as king, a lot of people think of the soon coming king. And what's wrong with that is you don't realize the nowness of the reign of Christ in your life. And we're out of Hebrews 7, and I was going to turn there, but I'm going to have to just jump right into Isaiah because it's in my heart. And we've looked at Isaiah a few times, but Hebrews 7 tells us that he's after the order of Melchizedek, king of peace and king of righteousness. And in Isaiah 32, where we've looked the last couple times, we've looked at this righteousness. And Isaiah 32 is such a wonderful scripture because it declares that a king shall reign in righteousness. Now, if you're the kingdom of God, where would we imagine the king would reign? The problem is we do imagine. That's the problem. Instead of know where the king reigns, we imagine. Now, we need to come to knowing where the king reigns, but Isaiah 32 says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And we dealt with this judgment last week, that the princes, the body of Christ, lives and rules in his judgment. Now, the word rule here is to exercise dominion. So if I rule in judgment, if I'm a member of the body of Christ and I'm ruling in judgment, I'm ruling in the judgment of the Lord. Okay, if these princes are members of the body of Christ, let's just kind of say they probably are. Okay, so we have a king that rules in righteousness, and we have princes that rule in the judgment of the king. Now, we have a scripture over in John that tells us this. We may not put it together, but in John it says, as he is, so are what? We. In this present world or earth. So the present reality of the king rules and reigns in our heart. So what's the reality of the king? If I know Jesus is king, how's he going to rule? See, we look for him to rule with an iron fist. And in the judgment, maybe that's true toward the old man. Him bringing the old man to death, maybe there's a truth to that. But we look for that to be toward us. Well, he rules in us in the new creation, in the understanding that's given of God in Christ. That begins to rule our hearts. It begins to rule. It begins to take authority over the way we think. Have you ever had the Lord begin to take authority over how you think and change the way you think? Sure you have. As you know the Lord, that authority of the Lord begins to be exercised in you, and he changes the very way you perceive everything. And it's a great change, because the way we perceived everything when we come to the Lord, most of us, if not all of us, most of us that are here come to the Lord with a understanding, and many of us come with kind of the Pentecostal understanding. And in that understanding, we were trying to get right with God. Over and over again, we were trying to get right with God. And our hearts would come to the altar over and again to get right with God. That was the understanding we walked in, and people taught us that. You know, I was talking about that with the folks that was in my car as we journeyed home today. that there was a time when I was preaching, I wanted to preach everybody to the altar. Now, I still do, but I want them to come from a different comprehension of the altar than they were then. I still want to preach it to the altar, but I want you to come in a different comprehension. I want you to come in the comprehension of what Jesus has done and live in that comprehension, that understanding that he has made us the righteousness of God in the work that he's done. And we live in that standing today. Amen. That's where we live today, here on the earth. See, that's the kingdom of God in operation. Like, people are looking for the kingdom of God to operate. Well, if you're living in the understanding that you're right with God, the kingdom of God is operating in your heart, in your life. That is the kingdom of God. Because it's his reign that has made an impression on your heart that what he did is true. That makes sense? It's impressing you that this is the truth. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This isn't phony. This is the truth. And your heart comes to the place that you've received that to live and dwell in it. Think about it. You live and dwell in that. Again, I quote the scripture, as he is, so are we. So we dwell in that he is. Amen. So if we come on down, and Brother Jimmy read this a few weeks ago in Isaiah 32, it says, verse 13, says, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the house of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until, everybody, I know we all don't hear each other, but everybody say until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment, here's this word judgment. Then the verdict, this word judgment here means a verdict. A judicial sentence, okay? Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. So judgment's going to dwell in the wilderness. That old man's going to be condemned. And there's also going to be a judgment of righteousness in the fruitful field, those that have been planted in the Lord. That's the fruitful field. You've been planted in the work of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So you're in a fruitful field. And that judgment's going to reign in your heart. You're going to perceive the verdict of God, that you have been made free from all the old to live in all the new. And another place in Isaiah, he says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. Well, if I go back and I read of the turmoil of old covenant Jerusalem, now that'll give me context to what the Lord is really saying. So there in the old, you have Jerusalem that goes in and out with God. And we talked about this last week where in David's prayers, where he would pray toward what the law said and God would deal with him. You know, he is a man after God's heart. We dealt with that last week. But he would pray according to the word he knew. and the blessings of that word would flow upon him. Okay. Now, God says, behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing. Now, I'm quoting this. You can look it up. Well, what makes the Jerusalem rejoice? Because they have come into a fruitful place. They have come into a peaceful habitation. They have come into a place of rest. They have come to where their battle has been won, where Jesus has defeated the enemy and brought light and immortality to light, or life and immortality to light by the gospel. They've come to that place. It's a place of rejoicing. Sing all your heavens. Now, when you read scriptures like that, sing all your heavens, he ain't talking to the sky, is he? He could. I mean, God could talk to anything. And he could get from anything what he wants. But I believe he's talking to this heavenly people that have been born of spirit. Because to me, that's what makes you heavenly. You've been born out of spirit. Not born out of the dust again, but born of the Spirit of God to declare the things in the heavens upon the earth. Amen. So if I go on down, I'm still in Isaiah 32. I know I've skipped around quoting some stuff. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. Now, if I take this in my mind, what he said here, and I flip over to Ephesians 2. Flip over here. Ephesians chapter 2. Says, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Okay. So here's the peaceful habitation. He is our peace who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain of the two one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were not. Well, what did he declare to them that were far off and them that were not? One new man. This one new man is where you find the peace. You don't find the peace in the Gentile. You don't find the peace in the Jew. You find the peace in the work of God in Christ. See, I said this a few weeks ago in our local service. A lot of people never pick up on this reconciliation here in Ephesians 2. He reconciled both in one body by the cross. The reconciliation happened at the cross. He brought both Jew and Gentile in the body of his flesh into death to bring forth a new man in the body of his resurrection that was neither male, female, Greek, or Jew. And so that's how you have peace with God, because everything of the old man has been taken care of at the cross. And your life is in the new man. And this whole work has been done in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you live in. You are reconciled at the cross, your old man. See, what we want, what gets taught a lot of times, is the old man's been reconciled past the cross, and he hasn't. He was brought to the cross and crucified to bring forth one new man, so making peace. And this is how you come to the joy of righteousness, because everything we were guilty of in the old man found its place on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sin. He bore the weight of the world. He took the penalty of death and he put it to death. He rid it from us, or took it away from us. I know that's probably not proper English. He removed it from us. So we don't have the penalty of death over us. We have the greatness of his life. That's what we have, is salvation, the greatness of him. And I believe this is what the rest of Ephesians 2 tells us if we get a hold of it. It says, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. And I just said to you that the peace is the peace that's in the new man, where he made in himself of the two, one new man, so making peace. And he preaches this peace, declares this peace to you and I who were far off and to them that were nigh. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So here, to me, is the high priest. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father through Christ. Now, therefore, you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation. There's the sure dwelling place out of Isaiah. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now here's where you grow at. You grow in him. And what do you grow unto? A holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. There's the peaceable and quiet place of Isaiah, presence of God. You grow in Christ to a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. For he is our peace. And see, we're talking about King of peace and King of righteousness. Now, what kind of peace does he minister to us? He preached peace. According to Paul, what does he preach? What does he say? What does he declare? He declares that all this old is done. Scriptures declare. See, the scriptures declare, if people get a hold of the scripture, behold, I do a new thing. And before I do it, I declare it. Again, I'm paraphrasing. Probably didn't say it right. But before he did it, see, Isaiah declared, before Jesus ever come forth, he declared that everything, in Isaiah 53, everything was going to be laid up on him. Okay. Then in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, the government's upon his shoulders. So the government of God, this righteousness we're talking about, is upon the power of the Christ. It ain't up on my shoulders. It's up on it. So the shoulders is dealing with the strength of the Lord, right? You know, in the natural, if we look at someone's shoulders, a lot of time we say they got big shoulders, we're looking at somebody that we think, well, they're strong. They've got this strength, this power about them. Well, the government is upon his shoulders, and he shall rule in righteousness. Yeah. And he breaks into pieces everything that's not of him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So we get built up in him. So if we turn there, he'll break in pieces those things in our heart that's not of him. He'll shatter them. But he's not like the natural king that would shatter things, because then he'll fill you with the substance, the goodness, and mercy of him. See, sometimes we need some things shattered, okay? But the goodness of the Lord is he brings you into that of him. So we're in this government, this reign. See, because if we are dealing with a king, we're dealing with authority and reign of a king. You don't just have a king and the king ain't sitting over here bowing down to you. Ain't the way it works. So the authority of this king works in our heart. So somewhere down the road, our hearts come in alignment with what the king has done. Like I said, this judgment that he's executed, that the old man is dead and a new man is alive in the earth. That takes root in your soul, in your mind. And you come to the place till you believe it. And you begin to declare it. Because it's rooted in you. Why is it rooted in you? Because the king did it. It's the work of the king. And the work of our king wants his kingdom to represent him. Now, what does a kingdom do? If you look at the United States as a kingdom, the United States would represent the laws of the United States, right? Should. Okay. Well, then what does the kingdom of God do? It represents the laws of Christ. I ain't talking about the old covenant laws, so nobody get mad at me. But it represents that Christ has done. Yes. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So somewhere I have to declare that. The reign of that king has to work in me. Not just in the scripture. Now I can read that scripture all day. Let's flip over there to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Now it's in the scripture. We've read it. We know it. There is verse 1, King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now this is the work of the king, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, and we read in Isaiah 32 that when the spirit gets poured out from on high, that the wilderness, what do you say, would become a fruitful field or something along those lines. So here we go. To them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, if I walk after the flesh, the carnal understanding, the natural mind, although this is true, I don't realize it. Okay? Why don't I realize it? Because I'm walking after the flesh, the natural understanding. Okay? But if I'm walking after the spirit, the things that have been done in Christ, that's what walking after the spirit means. I keep coming back to this. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he's going to take that of me and show it to you. So if I'm walking after the Spirit, I'm walking after the things of Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So it's opened my eyes to what's in the life of Jesus Christ, the law of life. Okay. And there's no condemnation there. Why is there no condemnation? Because I told you he took your condemnation, your iniquity, and he put it up on himself. Now, we say this, all of us have said this, but is that a living reality in our heart? I went through a time where I would say that, but I don't know that it was living reality in my heart. I said it because the Bible said it, and I believe the Lord. I believe the Lord to a measure. But this thing comes to a place that it's a living reality in your heart. Anyway, moving on here. I'm going to share one more thing after this at least. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So if I get under the law of sin and death, this law of life has made me free from it. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned, that word condemned means to judge, that is to sentence. He sentenced sin in the flesh. How did he sentence it? To death. He put it to death. Okay. All right. So he sentenced it to death. There's no other remedy for it but to death. Now we go on. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, because there was always a righteousness of the law. Okay? The law was always speaking of a righteousness that we couldn't attain in ourselves. I'm going to flip over to Romans chapter 9 or chapter 10 in a moment, because Christ is the end of the law for them, for righteousness to them that believe. He fulfilled the law of righteousness, finding no iniquity in him. He fulfilled the law of righteousness. And he took the penalty of you and I upon him and put it to death. Sentenced it to death. Nailed it to his cross. That we might be found in him. You know how long I walked as a Christian looking for this answer? A long time. That Jesus really took my penalty and brought me into his life. That he really declares peace to me. He really declares a new man to me. Amen. This new man ain't guilty. This new man ain't full of condemnation. This new man ain't full of fear. He's not full of unrighteousness. Christ is his life. He's built up in the substance of Christ. It's a different man, different mind, different understanding. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free. So I'm not judging myself after the old law. See, what we try to do as Christians is we try to judge ourselves after the old law, after the commandment. Okay? And you've heard me. You heard me declare last couple weeks or last three or four weeks, the law was holy, just, and good. Why was the law holy, just, and good? Because it was declaring him. It was declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was holy, just, and good. But we were found guilty by the law. Get a hold of this. You can go to the law. You can go to the law tonight. And you can try to measure yourself by that law. And you'll be found guilty. Way it works. But when you come to the measuring of Christ, he is our peace who has broken down the middle wall partition between us. Now that's a different measurement. So in Christ Jesus, you that were far away are made nigh. In Christ Jesus, you are built up a holy habitation. See, that ain't the measurement under the law. The measurement of the law is you couldn't enter in there. Look at the different measurement. If you consider the law and you consider Christ here, look at the measurement under the law. They would come up to the temple. They would see the cloud of God's glory, the cloud of his presence, but they couldn't enter into it. The high priest once a year. They couldn't enter in to this goodness that you and I are talking about. I don't know if we get this. The goodness of God that you and I are sharing with each other, the fellowship that we're having in Christ, these dear brothers and sisters that were under the law weren't entering into this. They were looking at it and type and shadow the glory. But they weren't entering into it. He hath made us nigh. He's broken down the middle wall partition. He took away the veil in his flesh and he brought us into the glory of the Lord. So that's what's in the law of life. And the law of life is the things of Christ, or are the things of Christ. It's in the law of life. The law of sin and death dealt with what was in me and you, in the flesh. Telling you, get a hold of this. But Jesus judged sin in the flesh and condemned it, put it to death, that you would be made the righteousness of God in him. Not in the flesh, not in your works, not under the law, but you would be made the righteousness of God in him. And Christians do not get that. They try to be made the righteousness of God by the law. It's by faith in Christ. That's how it works. It's coming to the knowledge of him. That's what he's declaring to us, what he has done. Now, I think I've heard this for quite some time in my heart, and there was a place in my heart. That's been a long time ago. And maybe some of you are walking there, so I'm going to say this. Where people hear somebody preaching like I'm preaching tonight, and they think, well, this guy believes you can live any way you want. And I want to say, no, I don't. I absolutely do not believe that. But the law is not what's going to bring me into a place that I live unto the life of the Lord. That's what I'm telling you. I can try to do that, and I will not accomplish it. But I come to know the goodness of God, and I live in there by the power of the Spirit of God. Christ is my life. Not the law. So I'm not telling you can live any way you want. I'm telling you he's your life. I'm telling you that the standard of the law lives in you. What the law spoke of is your life. The law spoke of him. You couldn't come there because you didn't have the ability. It spoke of one greater than you. Now the one that was greater than you lives in you. And he's become your life. So he's given to you the goodness of him. That's what I'm telling. That you and I would take out what he's given us and distribute it in the earth. We begin to declare it to one another. We begin to declare it to whoever. What he's done. Glory to the Lamb of God. Well, let me get back in my scripture. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I've already told you what walking after the Spirit is. The Spirit's going to take that of mine and show it to you. I'm going to deal with this one more time, at least, maybe two, Dale. Because people think walking, I did too, walking by the Spirit is just me Like God come whispering in my ear. And I go out there and walk by the Spirit. I ain't telling you God can't whisper in your ear and tell you go do something, because he's done that. He's done that to me, and he's done that to a number of you, and he'll do it again. Okay? That may be an expression of walking by the Spirit. But walking by the Spirit is having Christ revealed in your heart, having Christ declared to you. And when Christ is declared to you that you have been made righteous in him, you receive that and you walk in that. That's spiritual understanding. That ain't natural understanding, because the carnal mind couldn't comprehend that. The carnal mind will wrestle with that every day. Still does. I know it because I wrestled with it. I read it in the Bible and I said, well, Lord, how in the world am I going to be righteous? Look what a mess I am. Because I kept looking at my own miserable ability to do it. And I finally come to the end of the frustration and realize, Lord, I can't do this. You're going to have to make me, like you said, righteous. Now I believe it. That all my iniquity was laid upon him, that all of his goodness could be ministered into me. That's what I'm telling you. That everything wrong with me got laid up on Jesus, and all his goodness is being ministered into me by the Spirit of God. By grace you're saved. You ever heard that? That's the goodness of the Lord being ministered into your heart. That's grace. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That's not your merit. That's not your effort. That's the work of him. Ministered into you. See, and then Paul goes on here in Romans and he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And again, I'm telling you, being spiritually minded is comprehending the things of Christ. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in, but you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He is righteousness. He is character. He is justification. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now, this is what I believe. Now, people can believe what they want, but it'll bring your bodies to exercise the life of him that lives in you. Your bodies used to exercise, Paul go on and tell you that, sin. Does he? Well, if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken, bring to life your mortal bodies. What's life? The things of Christ. So in these bodies that used to do the things of Adam, you'll find that that life of him that's in you starts affecting your mortal body to manifest out, express out the things of him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, I'll let that go here. But see, now flip over to Romans. I think chapter 9 or chapter 10. Chapter 10. Now, I was going to read Romans 4 and 5, but I guess with the amount of time I have, I probably won't read it tonight. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Rescued into safety, delivered, health, salvation. That's just, he said, that's my heart and prayer for them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Wow. He's the end of the law for righteousness. So I don't have to go look at the law to find righteousness. I have to look at Jesus. Now, what does this mean up here? They being ignorant of God's righteousness. I guess I have to turn to Romans 4. Turn to Romans 4. Here's God's righteousness. That's what we've been preaching tonight. Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, is pertaining to the flesh have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Here's God's righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted, that means to take an inventory, estimate, conclude. It was concluded that he was righteous. Now, how do we believe God today? See, Abraham received a word from the Lord. Now, we don't just receive a word from the Lord, we receive the word of the Lord. See, we receive Jesus Christ, the word. And in receiving the word of the Lord, like I said earlier, laid up on him the iniquity of us all. And we are made the righteousness of God in him. That's the word of the Lord that we receive. That's God's righteousness. I believe in him. And in him is all the mercy of the Lord flowing. Okay. Yes, it is. In him, to bring us into the life of him, to come to the life. See, that we would reign in life. What does that mean to reign in life? I could just feel like almost explode. It's talking about his life that's in us to reign and what his life that's in us declares. Well, if I reign in it, see, that's the king ruling in us. If I reign in it, the king is ruling in me. This king is reigning in righteousness. We're living in what he's done. We're declaring what he's done. We're shouting it from the rooftops. We're shouting it from the mountaintop. What he has done. He has made me free. And we're coming to reign in this life. Oh, because I couldn't reign under that old life because it would always bring me into condemnation. But I come into this life and I begin to reign in this life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So when we establish God's righteousness, we establish that God laid everything we were guilty of upon Jesus Christ and brought us into all of his goodness. My Lord, what a salvation. You say it's too good to be true, and I'll tell you, no, it's not. That's the goodness of the Lord. Not too good to be true. It is true. That's his goodness. That's how good he is. You want to talk about good? That's the goodness of God. That he's given this. And he's done it in a person. See, and this person lives in our heart. If we put it all together, because our hearts, we can go read the scripture about it, and I believe in doing that, and I keep telling you, and I keep reading the scripture to you so you can tell I believe in reading the scripture. So I believe it. But the scripture's talking about the relationship you have. That's what it's declaring, that you would know this great relationship you have in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He is our righteousness. My Lord and my God. And we would reign in his life. Man, we would say to things, he's my righteousness. These things have no authority over me. Jesus does. What the Lord has done is what's authoritative over me. That's what's authoritative over me. Yes. Let me read this one scripture and we'll stop in Romans 5 because I keep quoting it. And I may have misquoted it, so I want to read it. Romans 5. It says, I'll start at verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, here's that word reign, and death reigned there by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign, rule in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's just hitting my heart. We shall rule and reign with him, one scripture says. Here's how you rule and reign in his life. You declare what he's done. You declare the goodness of God. Go on down here. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the ones, so one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. This life that's flowing in our hearts tonight is through Jesus Christ the Lord. See, if you were unrighteous, you wouldn't have this life. You'd be under condemnation. But the law of life in Christ have made me free. The law of life. Christ is my life. There's so much to understand there. I know I don't have the full understanding of it. But there's a law of life, a government that is upon his shoulders, that his life, I guess I'm going to repeat myself, but his life, what his life says about us, that's his body, that's the truth. That's the law, I believe the law of life, what his life says. It's made me free of what the law said. Get a hold of that. You're not bound to what the law said. You're bound to what Jesus says. My Lord. That's salvation. Anyway, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just bless these beautiful people tonight. May your marvelous work be known in our hearts. May we declare it on the rooftops. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.